Rated M for mature.
We want more. We want more. Like, we really like it. We want more.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Wine, Weed, and Weave. I am your host, Ayana, aka the Marijuana Ayana. I am so excited to be back for season four. It's been a very long break. I desperately needed it. Thank you guys for being so patient with me and holding on strong and still like rocking with me and listening to old episodes. I really appreciate it. And I know for me, the anticipation has been building for season four. Like, I've been planning it this whole time that I've been gone, and I'm just really excited to bring another season of just some dope black and brown women in cannabis to your attention, because that's what we're all about over here. For those that are new, the whole reason I created this show is to highlight the work, voices, experiences of black and brown women in the cannabis industry. I'm now starting to include some men here and there, men of color in the industry as well, but we are all women, girl power over here, especially black girl magic power, you know. Disclaimer, everyone on the show is over the age of 21. We live in a state where we are legally allowed to consume cannabis, and if we're not, that's not your business and it's not bothering nobody. So that's that on that. This episode, I'm super excited to bring you guys. It's the first episode of the season, and I'm doing a little bit of a different style of intro. So instead of introing with the guests, though they love it, I just am going to try this intro style and see how it goes. And there's going to be a new episode every Sunday, not every other Sunday, but every Sunday once a week. So every single Sunday, you will hear an episode of Wine, Weed, and Weave. If there's any change at all, ever, you can find those announcements on my Instagram at the Marijuana Ayana. No, there's not an official page for the show. I've been kind of toying with the idea of doing an official page, but as someone that does cannabis marketing, I know how hard it is to manage a cannabis anything page, and I do it for a living, and I don't really want to do another one. So if you guys are ever looking for what's happening with the show, go to my Instagram at the Marijuana Ayana. So anyway, to get into today's guest, she is a cannabis and plant medicine educator. She is also a writer and an author with several really informative ebooks, and a speaker and a life coach. She's also the creator of Mary Jade Therapeutics, a plant-based skincare company, and she's the CMO of Candemics. She's been featured on CBS and NBC for her work helping people, and her work she likes to describe as helping people see the future of their wellness. Please welcome Jade, better known as RX Mary Jade, to season one of Wine, Weed, and Weave. So I asked this question to all of my guests. I think it's really cool to ask everybody. What was your first experience like with cannabis or CBD? And how did that change your perception about weed? Because, you know, a lot of us grew up with, like, the weed is scary stigma.
I was super anti-smoking when I was young, and just like tobacco. And I remember, this is such a weird story, I found out Busta Rhymes smoked weed, and I was like heartbroken that Busta Rhymes smoked weed. And but eventually, the first time I remember like using cannabis was, mm-hmm. I didn't even like know what it was. All I know is I found my brother's bowl. And I like,
did you have a bong or like a little hand
pipe? It was like a little pipe, a little glass pipe. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of resin on it. And I remember I was like with a lighter trying. I'm like, I know this is how they smoke pot, but there was literally no pot in it. So taking resin hits. And I'm like, that technically was like my first time. I was probably like maybe 13 years old. I had used cannabis as a teenager. I stopped in my early 20s. I had gastric bypass surgery, and I was like, I'm going to not use any toxic things. I didn't have carbs. I didn't have sugar. I was like, no alcohol, no pot, nothing. And from that, I actually started, I lived in New York at the time, and I started having all these crazy like health issues. I would fall to the floor. I was having a lot of GI issues. I would go to the doctor all the time, and they'd be like, there's nothing wrong. Like, maybe it's the food you eat, whatever. And like, you know, being in Manhattan, we had access to the delivery service. So my boyfriend is an artist. He, you know, it was like fairly new at the time to have a delivery service come. And I just remember smoking again for the first time. And I'm like, I wasn't sick anymore. And I was just like, wow, I have to like, okay. So
you're like, what is this? What is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, this was that.
Do you remember
like,
what you smoked exactly?
I think it was Jack Harer, if I'm not mistaken, because I remember that used to be the go-to. Like, I've always been a I don't like to use the terminology too much, but like more of a sativa, so more of this like uplifting.
Yeah.
But for me, it balances me out. So what would traditionally be uplifting for some is just like regulatory for me, which I really, really, really enjoy. That really was a game changer for me. And years later, I had been taking Xanax also from the time I was like 16 years old. Once I moved back to New Jersey, I was like, yo, I was passing out from like, you know, you'd forget you took a Xanax, and I'd go out. I was going to school in Hoboken, and I'd go out with my friends and we'd have drinks, and I'm like, what is
no.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember I literally woke up on the floor in a bathroom, and I'm like, why am I like, I only had two drinks, like why am I like this? And it's just like, oh, because I had to take Xanax during the day, because like I had crippling anxiety. And it wasn't until I found Charlotte's Web CBD that I was able to that literally replaced my Xanax. And I haven't used Xanax in, it's been six or 7 years now. So
wow. Yeah, that's incredible. I'm the same as someone who's had anxiety my whole life, and I've been recommended Xanax by so many doctors, and I've just always been afraid to take it, and I've just been using cannabis. But because of stories like these, I'm like, yeah, I think we made the right decision.
Yeah, I definitely would go. Yeah, I definitely agree, because it's like, it's only supposed to be temporary. But the thing is that it's addictive. So you do. And I used to start to have panic attacks about taking the Xanax. It was such a weird thing. Like, it's like, I didn't want to take it, so I'd have a panic attack. And then I needed to take it because I was having the panic attack about taking it. And I'm like, what is this?
Make sense. So speaking of, what are you smoking today or have been smoking lately?
I have some UK cheese, I have banana punch, I have Georgia pie, and I have
Georgia pie.
London pound cake. London pound cake is one of my favorites.
That sounds good. Does it taste kind of like a cookies, like a wedding cake?
I would say it's just so smooth. Like, it's just a nice smooth, like, I don't do anything too sweet. Like, that higher myrcene profile tends to just like turn me off. But these, like, as soon as you open it, it's like you want to have sex with the jar. You put your whole face in it.
I love that description, because every stoner knows what we mean. We all know. I am smoking on some Fruity Pebbles today. It's
okay.
Fun, tasty cross of like Granddaddy Perp and Taco OG and like a bunch of other stuff. I think that's why it's called Fruity Pebbles, because it's kind of like a mix of all these things. Yeah, and I'm using like a dry herb vape, so I'm getting a lot of terps, and that's my favorite, is like tasting all the terpenes, because that's when you really get the experience and like a nice flavor.
And not for nothing, that's the, I want to say, like, I know that's been all the rage is like, really, oh, we're going to talk about terpenes, but that is like really a very medicinal, like, part of the plant, like, that acts on the limbic system, and your limbic system is, you know, it's not just one organ or anything like that, it's a whole system. Yeah, it's a whole system, and it attaches to your olfactory system, so that's your smell. Mm-hmm. And that actually, it's been proven in research that, you know, this affects your mood, it affects the changes in your body.
There was one time I went to a grow, and I remember going, and I had like a headache, I was in a bad mood, and I was going to help a friend shoot some stuff. So I'm in this grow with all these plants, the terpenes are just like permeating in my nose. Throughout the day, my headache starts to dissipate. My mood is gone. Like, I didn't smoke anything. I was just around all these plants. And I was like, oh, it's all those terpenes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like when you're walking down the street and you smell somebody smoking and, like, you're like, yes.
Ew. Or if you smell, like, some barbecue, you're like, I'm hungry now.
Hungry. Yeah.
Same thing.
The cookies in the oven, you know, it's that's the analogy they always use. It's like, ooh, yes.
So clearly you're very educated on cannabis, which I love. How did you enter the industry, and what steps did you take to do this work as your full-time career as a cannabis educator?
So I started, I've been a massage therapist for the last 16 years. And I was having, I first started like learning how to make topicals, you know, on my own accord, just because, like, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then when I started having when I started using CBD and having a lot of health issues and really trying to manage it, my then boyfriend and I, we went on a trip to Colorado. I tried cannabis out there, and I was like, yo, I have to move out here. Like,
when I went to Colorado for the first time.
Yeah. It's like, I have to move out here, because it was just like, the access. And then once I put on, well, this is the most popular story that people really like, I used to not be able to walk for maybe like 10 to 15 minutes at a time. I used a 1-to-1 Mary's medicinal THC CBD ratio patch out there, and we walked 5 miles that day, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that is the magic of, like, and the power, excuse me, it's not magical, because it's just the power. There's mm-hmm. nothing mystical about this. It just is what
it's
it is,
the
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And from there, I came back to New Jersey, and that's when we had our, I know we had a medical program. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll work at a dispensary. So I applied for one of the dispensaries here. At the time, it was the top rated in High Times. And, you know, we only had medical, and I started working there, and they were like, yo, you could become a patient. And that's literally the only reason why I'm still here in New Jersey, in the New Jersey cannabis scene, because once I found out, like, I could become a patient, I started working at the dispensary. I worked in with the plant, and then I moved, they like promoted me within like a month or so. I started working, I was a health coach, I worked with the patients, I worked and I just would educate myself. Like, there were some days at work where they saw, they're like, you look really busy over there. And it's just me reading like medical journals and writing stuff. And I used to try to do community outreach and everything. And I just noticed there was gaps in the New Jersey medical program. So while I was still working at the dispensary, I then started, you know, RX Mary J just as like an Instagram account. And I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna start, you know, documenting this. And it was kind of more so as like advertisement for the dispensary I was working at. And then I'm like, no, like, there's more I could do. I could educate doctors. So I actually contacted the dispensary that's in my town, and I started bringing physicians on dispensary tours of their grow facility. Once my other job found out, I was still there. They were like, this is a conflict of interest. And I was like, okay, so we parted ways. But really, like, that was my whole journey. And then I just started doing, you know, it was like, really, I came into this as like a massage therapist. And I'm like, no, that's what I was trying to get away from. That's the job that I picked when I was a 15-year-old girl. And now, you know, at the time I was in my late 20s. And it's just like, I want to do this. I want to show people. I want to empower people so that they know how to utilize this plant medicine. And just from there, it took off. I, you know, I've had my ups and my downs. I still am, you know, I still do massage therapy because I love it. It is my career. I get to help people. But majority of everything I do is cannabis related. And it's through my pain, through having fibromyalgia, through having CPTSD, through having chronic anxiety, that I was able to create this, that I was able to, because your traumas can give you power if you are able to transmute it. And I was so lucky that I was able to take my life back. And I knew, okay, I can't be an employee somewhere. I just can't be an employee. This doesn't work. What can I do? And I just pulled myself up. And, you know, I'm lucky to have the support of my family, my, you know, my parents. Well, my mom mostly smokes, my brother smokes. Like, you know, that's very, it's very
part of your family. Yeah, it's so natural.
And I didn't know until I got older, you know, that my mom smoked. I could tell you that story. It's really funny.
You're like, Mom, why didn't you tell me?
But it's just like, I just knew that this was something that I had to do. So I you know, a lot of the people that I've run into in the industry, you run into maybe a couple of shady people and that makes you want to work harder, or, you know, companies that aren't so scrutable. Is that a word? I don't know. Yeah, it is now. Like they like, it makes me want to push harder and educate more, because I don't know if it's the cancer in me, but I could be petty. And if I could be petty and be like educating and be, I consider it a petty diplomat, then, you know,
then every cancer I know is so petty, but like in the best way possible, like when it's absolutely necessary.
And I'm like, yeah. And if you hurt my people, and my people is my community, then I'm gonna be petty. Like, that's how I get with it. Like, cause I want to protect these people. Like, there was a store. It was right at the beginning of the pandemic. They posted, "Oh, come on in, get your CBD, and you won't catch coronavirus." And it was just like, I was like, "No, we're not doing that here."
False information.
Yeah, I legit just wrote. I was like, "We're not doing that here. This is not cool." And they're like, "What do you mean?" And I'm like, "Nah, we're not playing that." I put them on blast. I'm like, because you would have literally, you were just trying to use fear to get these people. Just so much is, there's so much wrong with the industry, and but there's the potential for it to be right. It's just, you need the right people.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm
in it too. Like, it's because of, like you said, people who are trying to push you out that you want to stay in even more. I get that feeling 100%. I'm like, "Oh, you don't want me here? Guess what?"
Yeah, I had a hemp farmer threaten to call the police on me for using medical marijuana. He's like, "You are buying weed. You're over here buying drugs. Well, I'm going to call the police. So how would you like them to show up at your house?" I'm like, "Did you really just threaten to call the police on me because I'm a medical marijuana patient and you own a hemp farm?"
I was like, "Wait,
what?" Yeah, right, exactly. But that's it, because guess what, he's a businessman. He's not, he might smoke every once in a while, he might take CBD, but that's what you're getting a lot of. This is where the black market, which the legacy market meets Wall Street, like wolves.
I'm saying because I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel this 100,000%. I've worked for dispensaries, I've worked for businesses that were making millions and then they were just gone. I worked for some trap people. Like, I worked for every type of cannabis company you can think of, and they're all just exactly what you're saying. Like, my next question, so as someone who studies and educates cannabis and other herbal plant-based medicines, like you said, it's really important what people are saying when they're putting out there, and I'm so glad that you're someone that's like, "Oh, I'm gonna correct that or make sure that people are getting the right information." Are people ever surprised to learn about the medical benefits, like the real medical benefits of cannabis or other herbs?
I would say it depends who I'm talking to. Like, that's the thing about the cannabis community, is like, we tend to like be an echo chamber where we're talking to each other, like, cannabis.
And we already know.
Yeah. We're like, "I know, high five." And then like, you get people like, I worked with one woman, it was at a massage job, and she was complaining of knee pain. And I'm like, "Oh, well, have you ever tried, you know, like CBD?" I don't smoke weed. It makes me hungry. I get dizzy. I tried it once and never again. And I'm just like, "Well, that's when? Like 40 years ago?"
Yeah.
It's not even like, it's 5 years ago isn't even the same in cannabis.
You don't even
like,
have to smoke it anymore if you don't want to.
Exactly. And so it was just like, to start to talk to people, and then they're like, it goes beyond them. So like, a lot of the people that I'll talk to, they'll be like, "Actually, that sounds like it'd be good for my son." That actually sounds like it'd be good for this. And then you start talking, and they're like, wow. Or on the other end of things, like when you're talking about herbs, like that's why I'm like really glad that I'm starting to see a lot more people talk about smokable herbs or just herbs in general, is like there's so many people who are just overdoing it with cannabis. Like I'm really glad that a lot of people are coming into to using herbs to extend their medicine, to not smoke as
during COVID.
Just in general, like it's always been a thing, like especially here in New Jersey, if you are a medical patient, an ounce now it's up to $400. It used to be closer to $600 an ounce in the medical program. So like people couldn't purchase that much, or like maybe you always don't have access to the correct cultivar for you, or the, you know, the right type of thing that you need. So it's like, how can you make this, morph this into something else? And what I was saying was like, we need to stop treating cannabis as something so separate in plant medicine. Like we've only been segregated because of racist policies and laws, and that it was pushed to the side in general. But this is herbalism. Like this is herbal. Like it's not separate. It is part of it. It should be in that pharmacopoeia. It should be part of this. And it's just so sad that it's segregated. It's separate. And it's, you know, I'll meet a lot of what I try to do also is informing holistic and alternative medical professionals that cannabis isn't bad, because you'd be surprised how many naturopaths, holistic doctors will tell you. I even went to I'm a chi healer, so like Tai Chi, Qigong, all that kind of stuff. I did a class, and in the textbook I bought, he lists all this stuff, and he's like, never use cannabis. You can kind of use CBD sometimes. It's bad for you. It's horrible. And I'm just like, where?
Why can you use CBD but not cannabis? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like it still doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, it's because you're going off of something that you like Googled, or maybe somebody told you at a vitamin shop. Like, vitamin shop, you need to sponsor this. But like, it's but it's just like it's so stigmatized, like, and that has to stop across the board. From it doesn't matter whether you're in a traditional allopathic medical doctor where you're prescribing pharmaceuticals, or you're an acupuncturist, or, you know, anything of that sort. Like, this needs to be like, hey, do you use cannabis? And they need to learn, because they're not even educated. That's why. It's because they're not educated. So I really, truly hope that it becomes more commonplace with herbalism to like to pick up a book where you're not having to pick up a separate book about cannabis.
That's so funny. I'm literally looking at a stack of books in front of me, and I have cannabis books and herbal books. I don't have any books with both. Like, I have The History of Cannabis, Cannabis, A Beginner's Guide to Growing, and Herbal Healing for Women, and Body Balance Herbal Healing. And I think I'm someone who is also like always trying to combine the two as much as I can, or educate myself on how to combine the two. And now that I'm looking at my stack of books in front of me, and you said that, I'm like, there really isn't anything with both of them. Like, I've had to collect books separately of cannabis books and herbal books to combine the information of both. Maybe you should write that book.
You were just kind of giving me an idea, because you know, you're right. And like, I'm over here and I have I love books, like, but textbooks.
You're
like
also a book hoarder, because I'm a book
hoarder. I don't like stories. I want facts. I like to have facts.
Yeah, I want the information.
Yeah. Because not for nothing, I'm saying, like, the apocalypse happens, Google goes down, man. I got all these books. Listen, I'm going to be the hood nurse.
Herbal books, because when COVID started, I was like, what skill can I have in case the zombies come? Want to keep me around? I can become the medicine woman. Herbal books, and I was reading herbal books for like 6 months.
That's the way to go, though. I'm telling you, it's not separate. It's a thing you can teach yourself. Like, yeah, maybe we're not master experts, and the best part is like, there's science behind it. All it is just this. These are the old ways. Like this is even Ayurveda. Ayurveda is considered, it loosely translates to the original medicine.
Yeah.
And they consider it the original medicine. And part of being the original medicine is that it does not force. It knows to ebb and flow that while maybe Western methods are now more prevalent, you see now how Ayurveda is coming back, how natural things are coming back. And that's that's because that's true. That's Ayurvedic. That's natural medicine. It's there's science behind it. It's just coming to more of a modern terms for to explain it to us.
Yeah. I've always lived in a house my whole life. I've been in the household of we're gonna find a plant before we take the medicine. Like if we can find the plant version of it, then we're gonna try to do that first before we eat the medicine version of it. Like I'm someone that I get cysts throughout my body from like just my lymphatic system being clogged a lot for who knows why. I'm still trying to figure it out. And we'll use you know, chamomile and Aztec clay and aloe vera and everything else before I go to the hospital. Because if I go to the hospital, all they're gonna do is go take an aspirin, take a bath, lie down, take a shower. And then you can fix it. Or we can give you some drugs. And I'm like, that doesn't actually help anything. As for when I'm using the plant consistently, it's actually decreasing swelling. It's actually helping inflammation. Like it's actually healing instead of just immediately making something disappear with an actual healing thing to it.
Yeah, it's masking. That's a lot of, I think the majority, and you know what, this is to speak on to people who say cannabis doesn't work for them, CBD doesn't work for them, is it is not like taking an oxy. It is not like taking a pill. Yeah. Natural medicine does not work like that. And even if you look at something like an antidepressant, they're saying, you know, within 2 weeks' time, you should see how you feel. Within a month's time, you should see how you feel. That still has to build up and regulate your system. It is no different. So the fact that it's not forcing itself through synthetic means it's going to take a little longer. So instead of that 2 weeks, it's going to be that month. Instead of that month, it's going to be a month and a half or 2 months. But
and you have to be consistent. I've learned.
Yeah. And you have to, the thing is we don't offer ourselves any grace with anything because we're always in a rush. We're always in a rush to the next place. And it's the next place of healing. I can't be here. I have to do this. I have to go. And it's, we don't ever offer ourselves any time or space to heal or just even be gentle with yourself. We get so fed up with like pain. Like we don't parent ourselves. We're not soft to ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves.
And are you speaking to me? Don't talk. I think every black woman just went, oh, well.
It's true. We're so hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
So hard.
I'm also learning, like, oh, yeah, I'm a human before I'm anything else, and I got to heal because I'm a human body and not a robot, you know? Wait, that's a whole nother conversation, girl. Okay, anyway. So I'm really excited about this next question. I know you're an educator and an expert with various mushrooms, including psilocybin. I'm in California, so psilocybin is kind of pretty regular around here now. What has your experience been like with mushrooms, and how has that kind of helped you, and what do you hope to teach other people about mushrooms? I recently got the opportunity to try mushrooms. I got to go to the desert and really kind of curate the experience, and since then, I have totally changed my perspective about mushrooms, and I think it was really cool to have this whole new perspective about something that I didn't fully understand, and now I have a better understanding of it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I'm gonna say I was never a fan of psychedelic mushrooms. I never wanted to take psilocybin. I never had any interest in it, and it wasn't until it kind of grossed me out because you want to know, I tell everybody, I just pictured a bunch of white guys wearing those like rough looking like hoodies, like at a Grateful Dead concert, hacky sacking. And like, I'm not welcome. Like, I don't want to trip around you. I will like, and plus I'm not welcome. Like that's not my vibe, like whatever. Yeah. So
and that was never the depiction we got of mushrooms.
Yeah. And I'm like, I never wanted that. Like, so anytime people were like, oh, let's go take mushrooms, like a lot of my friends always wanted to do mushrooms. And I'm just like, I have no need for it. It wasn't until I had like a really bad breakup And it wasn't just the breakup. It was just a series of events, making poor choices in my life and drinking a lot and all this stuff. And I just remember driving in my car and I was like fucking hysterical crying. And all I heard was a little whisper go, "Mushrooms, mushrooms, you need to take mushrooms." And I'm like, "What the fuck?" And I'm like, "I don't want to take mushrooms." And I'm like, I just kept hearing this little nagging voice saying, "You need to take mushrooms." And so I contacted my brother again. My brother, I'm so sorry. You're being incriminated on so many levels.
It's so fine. It's fine. Nobody here is judging or snitching. This is a safe space. FYI, listeners, this is a safe space.
They know. Yeah. They know. I told him, I was like, I think I want to try psilocybin. Like, I think I want to, because he had started using that and he had always been like he was never a spiritual person. He had a very traumatic, his friend passed away traumatically and he had been kind of dealing with that. And that opened him up to, you know, meditating and using the psilocybin more intentionally versus like when we were younger. And so he taught me what a microdose was and he put them all in little bags for me so that I knew like, okay, you're going to take one of these. And then I would send him a message so he knew that I took it. Like, he told me what to do and everything. And all I did for months and months and months and months was cry and cry and cry. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't until I had like a larger dose. I had, you know, the visuals. I'm never a fan of visuals. And that like, it really
I've never had
me.
The visuals. I'm not there yet. I'm sure I'll get there on accident.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. I took,
usually
I was like,
it's an accident.
Yeah. I took 2 grams. I remember I took 2 grams because I got all the way up to like 1.2 and it was just a nice feeling. It just felt like I was getting a massage and I felt nice. But that too, I just remember I'm like, this dark figure is coming out of the earth and showing me all this. I'm like, I need to go to bed. I'm going to bed right now.
That's
but
a great
it was
tip,
like...
by the way. If you feel tired, just go to sleep.
Really, but that's sometimes that's what your body needs. And sometimes it's just like, it's more than like, that's the best part about psilocybin. Like, yeah, you get all these mental effects or whatever, but like, really, it's just working on your body. It's no different than cannabis. It's like, it's just really doing some internal things to you and making these things happen so that when you are waking up the next day, you're feeling revitalized, you're feeling rejuvenated, you've created these neural pathways. And I think that that's the best thing about this is that it's like it's creating a healthy brain activity. It's and I think that that's the most important thing to explain to people is like it's just about getting your mind right. Like we're just trying to get our mind right. Like I'm not a fan of taking.
You're not trying to trick. You're not trying to have the visuals. You're trying to. Yeah, I totally feel you. Yeah. How do you explain this to someone? I try to explain this all the time when I would microdose. I'm not microdosing as much often. That like they'd be like, "Why are you microdosing?" Or like, "Why are you taking mushrooms every 3 days?" I was doing I forgot what it's called, the method where you take it like once and then you wait 2 days and you take it again, you wait 2 days, and I can never explain what it was doing to my brain. But for someone as well who kind of has battled with anxiety and has used mushrooms, can you explain like the kind of scientific, maybe not scientific, more of the educated way of how mushrooms are working in a brain that is more neurodiverse?
Well, the best way, the reason also why you're not taking it every day is because of that half-life. You're not going to receive any benefits if it's building up in your system. You have to give your brain a chance to rejuvenate itself, to replenish itself. You know, you have to give it a break for a minute to create these pathways. So it's really about just retraining your brain. It's just like it's no different than going to. I really love to break things down like this. Going to a personal trainer. If you go to a personal trainer once a month, you're going to have a ab. You'll have, you know, like, you'll have one pack. But if you're going consistently every few days, you're going to see more better results. You're going to see them quicker. And that's something to be said for the protocols that are using the maybe the 1 day in between to 3 days in between. That, I think, is a very... it's a very direct way to address an issue. But that mm-hmm. is something that I would even say, like, I don't recommend doing that for more than 3 months.
Yeah, I don't do it anymore. I did it maybe for about 3 months. And now I've taken microdoses maybe like six, 8 weeks.
Yeah, because
I'm gonna return to it eventually, but at the moment I don't feel like I need it.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. It's like, I think people are just so used to like, oh, well, you have to like taking things all the time or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a treatment. You're treating yourself. It's a treatment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's no for different sure. than if somebody went to like an inpatient program. Yeah. Like for me, I was doing that. I was taking mushrooms. I would say every 2 days I was doing it. I had stopped. I really haven't done that in years. But like a microdose, really, for me, I should probably do it more often. But like every 30 days, I just take a microdose. If I need a couple more throughout the month, maybe like once a week, twice mm-hmm. a month. But like it's not something, it's because I am also paying attention to what my brain is doing. Like, okay, how is this making me feel? How can I mimic these results without using these things? And the power behind that is like you get to use these plants to see that you're capable of this, and now you can use that feeling. Yes, you're like, I can do this. Okay, so now I have taken this dark cloud off of me. My brain can think a little clearer, so now I'm going to logically figure out how to do that without this. And that's it. That's all it is. That's all. You pick your meditation. Maybe you take up embroidery because that's been a thing, or knitting, or like whatever.
I'm someone who likes to write. If I was microdosing, I'd write throughout the day and be like, yep. Okay, I feel like this at this time. Okay, I feel like this at this time. Oh, this is the thought that I'm having. That was funny. Yep. I'm going to write this down.
I never even knew that I could draw. Like I started drawing. Wow. Like sketching.
Oh, I'm an artist.
Yeah, right? And I'm like, oh shit. And that's one thing that I would always say. I'm like, oh, and I would always like belittle myself. I'm like, oh, I can't really draw. I can't really do this. I can't, like, you know, whenever somebody would be like, oh, just sketch something or whatever it is for like a class or playing Pictionary or something. I don't know. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't really draw. And then I see, I'm like, wow. And I show people, I'm like, I drew this big oak tree. I sketched it. And people are like, oh my God, you drew that? And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I did. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Dang, the wonderful things that medicine will reveal to us about ourselves.
Yeah, it's just that you have to remove the veil. Like, we are so hidden behind this. Like, we don't want to remember a lot. We don't want to remember because there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff that happens to us. There's a lot of good stuff that happens to us, but it's just
a lot going on right now.
Yeah. And we don't want to remember. It's like from the time, if you're somebody who's experienced any type of bad thing in your childhood, you know, you've been a disassociating from a young age up until now, and you don't even notice it. You're just going through it. So now when you're experiencing anxiety because something's just not vibing right with your whole being, you're now like, okay, well, I'll smoke some cannabis. You feel better in the moment as like a PRN and as needed treatment, but you're not diving deep and doing that real work to be like, hey, I got to think about these things I don't want to think about. And that's one thing I want to just say is that do not use psilocybin for mental health reasons. And if you have some serious traumas, you really need to be talking to a mental health professional, not a life coach. You need to be speaking to a mental health professional.
Certified licensed.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm sick of seeing this. Definitely.
Reader.
Yeah. go talk to, you know what? Talk to your spiritual guide, but have somebody on, like, you need to have that. You need that support. If you're a spiritual person, then yes, bring spirit into it, but you have to be pragmatic. You have to be realistic about it. We keep trying to add magic to the world. The world is magic. You don't have to pretend and make it more magical. Like, we're on a big fucking rock floating in the middle of like nothing, and we're made of stardust. Like, that's magic.
I freaking love that. You're like, look at us. Come on, guys.
Yeah, like, just do it. Just do it the right way. Like, don't hurt yourself. Give yourself all like the tools.
I love that analogy of thinking of your brain like the rest of your body. You wouldn't do the same workout every day. You're going to hurt yourself. Like, you want to take your time. You want to be graceful with yourself. You want to practice, but you want to also like give yourself time to heal.
Absolutely.
Super
absolutely
important. What do you hope? I feel like just in this conversation alone, you are already teaching us a lot, but what do you hope to teach women of color about healing through plant-based medicine?
Oh, I want them to take their power back. I'll tell you this. When I started working at a dispensary, I started bringing up the fact that, like, or somebody came in actually and they said, you know, oh, I do Reiki and I'm an herbalist. And I remember the patient leaving and then the two white men I worked with, oh, that was so stupid. Like, oh, that can't get, oh, you're going to wave your hands around someone. You're going to take some herbs. You're going to rub oils on yourself and be better. Like, they totally trashed this. And I remember me feeling so insignificant and small and feeling like I don't belong. But like, yo, we're the originators. Like, we are the bringers of life and our people are the people of the earth. Like, we've been doing this. So how dare you come in here and try been with your white lab coats? Been you came and took it. You colonized our medicine and then called us savages. Like, you seriously, you know this stuff heals. You know this stuff heals. You and it's not it until legit, you rebranded. You rebranded it. Like, you took the willow bark from the tree and we had that same properties as aspirin in that. And you saw indigenous people doing that. And now it's aspirin. Now you have, you have these pills you make from it. Like, you gotta be kidding me. So don't ever feel ashamed to step into your power. Take your plant medicine back. Like, don't allow anybody to take that from you. Don't allow these doctors who overlook you in the system.
Do not know your body.
Yes, like, go and take this. Cause guess what? Like, I've been waiting for treatments for certain like things for forever. And I'm just like, it's the doctor's not listening to me because I'm a woman of color. And I'm like, okay, so what can I do in the interim to make my life better? You have to empower yourself. And if it's through the earth, then so be it. Like, just do it. Don't let anybody stop you. And that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at on it. Because I just know feeling ashamed or you have to hide it or just, why are you going to feel sick? Because of what somebody else thinks.
Being in pain and just
for what? So somebody thinks something? Yeah. Ugh. I don't care. Nope. My happiness.
This is why I picked up these herbal books, because I have this cystic issue that no one's given me an answer for, and I had to take control of it. I had to. I couldn't live my life, keep going to the doctor every couple weeks, paying for the doctor every couple weeks, and not getting a solution.
I
think I had to say that little voice in my head was like the ancestors or something. Was like, go get a bunch of herbal books, go pick up this, go learn this, go find out this information for yourself so you can at least heal yourself and others around you.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, because then you'll see how interconnected things are. You will see how interconnected things are. Something as simple, this is like a little segue, but like, I've gotten really into tea in the last year and change. And it's all because I went to a Tai Chi retreat and I had a horrible time. And the only person that I met there, her name is Feng Xiao, and she's a former Buddhist nun. She's my friend now. And she sat there and she was talking about these teas and all their healing properties. And we did a tea meditation, a tea ceremony, and she's talking about it. And I'm like, this is how we talk about weed. I'm like, there's like different strains and they do different things. And I literally spent my summer with her. Like, I'd be in there like twice a week and I would just learn about tea. Like, I have a tea cart. And now, like, I informed her about cannabis. She wants, like, she went from like, no, to, okay, maybe we should try this.
She probably had the same thing. She was like, this is kind of like tea.
Yes, exactly. And that's like, and to me, I'm just like, this is amazing. And then also on another level, I mix the tea with my psilocybin. And so it's just like with my herbs, it all comes back. It's all
interconnected. Yeah.
Yes. It's all connected. It's plants.
Powerful stuff. Plants have been around longer than we have. Like,
yeah.
Just trust them.
Yeah, they speak to us. You just have to listen.
For sure.
You just have to
listen. And your body knows how to respond to them too. And the plants know what to do. And I know that you make plant-based like skincare products. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and like how those benefit the body and like why you made them?
Okay. Yeah, sure. So I make my The real product that people will know is my shaman salve. And I call it shaman salve because I consider myself a shaman. The first ingredient is love. I put that on the label because, you know, it helps. It helps heal. It's a low CBD product, and it has essential oils in it, and it's made with shea butter. And the idea behind that is, again, a microdosing and understanding how synergy works, because it's not about, you'll see a lot of these topicals, 1,000 milligrams, 10,000 milligrams of CBD. And
it's,
you're
really,
like, wow.
It's not that much for real, you guys.
And it's not even good quality. If it's not good quality, it doesn't matter. If it's quality, then you only need 5 milligrams. Why do you need, like, that's so American of us. Like, yeah, we need the triple double decker size. Like, we need 10,000 milligrams. Like, no, like, that's not it.
We just and need so, enough, not the hamburger helper. Super cheese version. Don't need that.
Exactly. I'm just like, we need less. And so the benefit of that was, this enabled also people to feel safe enough to use it on their children, for just mine, for eczema, for psoriasis issues. Like, I had a lot of people return for that. I wasn't really going to make it. I actually hosted a sesh, and they were like, you can have a table. And all I did was education at the time. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to put on a table? Like, what do you put on a table? All I do is talk. So I'm like, yeah, you know, let me make some of this stuff. So I had some of my old dispensary jars. I cleaned them all out, you know, sanitized them. And I made the shaman salve, and people really loved it. And it's really good for peripheral neuropathy, which basically means pain or numbness in the appendages of your body, so specifically your feet. And people started using that, and it just kind of spread like wildfire. Like, I had people, I'm from New Jersey, so people in Delaware, New York, Texas, everywhere, everybody started wanting it. And from there, I just, like, that's really all I have right now out for skin. I do use privately on my clients. I have Oracle oil, which again is another terpene infused hemp blend, that hopefully will hit the markets. And then, like, my most popular product, is my Witch's Brew, and that's a full spectrum, cannabis topical, all purpose. I started making it because my mom, she had skin cancer, and so she started applying it, and I tell you that the skin cancer lesion fell off of her forehead after using it. Yeah. So she, So, and I know people with herpes that use it when they're about to have a breakout. They don't have breakouts from using it. It's like, it, you can
really
use
did
it.
Did make a potion. Wow.
Yeah. It's my Witch's Brew. I tell you, it does everything. I use it on my face every day. I use it in the bathtub when I'm aching. I use it, you can use it around your genitals for, like, if you're having menstrual cramps, it really helps with that. I actually even sometimes will infuse tampons, and use that. Yeah, that's a big thing for me, is like infusing tampons. Cause I think that's, it's some trial and error, but like people don't really think about that. Like, we have, like, not even just for cramps, but like people who have scar tissue, endometriosis, like any type of trauma to the area, know, like that can heal. It's not only, it's not just masking the pain. There's other things that I put in it. Like, again, I said, I'm really big on synergy. So there's other essential oils that I'm picking, not just for smell. And I find that that's what a lot of companies will do. Or like, I'll see maybe people making handmade products, and they're like, it smells like jasmine or lavender or whatever. And I'm like, well, what's the benefit of that? And they're like, oh, cause it smells nice. And I'm like, that's great.
Okay.
But what is it doing? Like, what, why are you putting this in here? Like, you might as well just make it like cotton candy flavor, like scented or something like that. At that point, it has no medicinal value. It's not adding to the cannabis. So yeah,
makes sense.
I'm hoping to bring that out to the legal market in New Jersey. We will see.
Fingers crossed. Good luck. Sending good energy.
Thank you.
And you guys, it's called Mary Jade Therapeutics, right?
Yes.
Mary
That's
Jade
me.
Therapeutics. And this is on your Instagram page. What's your Instagram again? It's Mary Jade. That's your Instagram. And Mary Jade Therapeutics. Please go to her Instagram because, listen, you are very confident online. I mean, you can be. You are fine and you know it, like, obviously. And I know, like, a lot of women and women in general, like, we have a hard time, like, being ourselves online, putting our full faces, putting our full bodies, and you just do it so unapologetically, which I love. Like I said, I've been following you for a while. For women who are struggling with this, or, like, even women in cannabis, I know lots of women in weed who don't even want to show their face because they're, like, they don't want to show themselves with weed, and they're scared. How did you kind of get to this space where you're just like, fuck it, like, I'm just going to do what I want online? And how can you kind of encourage other women to do this? Because I want to see more of this.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And I also, on the same end, is like, don't sell yourself just for the cannabis. So it's a it's a real balance. I started because I was being naive and I'm like, oh, I know if I throw ass, like, I'm gonna I'm gonna get party invites. I'm gonna get, like, like, let's throw ass. So that's what I was doing. I had to take a step back because I had to learn boundaries. I think that's the thing. If you don't learn your own personal boundaries, you can't assert your own personal boundaries, then you're not comfortable, because you are. You're leaving yourself out there exposed.
You're leaving yourself vulnerable, yeah.
Yes, and I fell victim to that many a time. So it's just about, I learned that as soon as I see the flag can be light pink. It don't need to be full red. If I see a light pink flag, goodbye. Like, I address it. I don't just talk to everyone. I also sometimes I sit and I weigh, like, why am I posting this? Is this ultimately for, you know, serves me and my mission? And I look at that, and if you're afraid of posting pictures of you using cannabis, then just make sure that, you know, you're doing it responsibly. Like, if you're afraid you're going to lose your job and you have the real, you know, risk of that, then don't do it. Like, you don't do it unless you plan on leaving. You're like, you're okay with losing that job. Like, if you need to have a medical card in your state, then acquire the medical card. That's what I did, because I was like, oh my God, I just realized I'm on the internet and everybody can see me and I'm smoking weed, and what am I going to do? I can never get a job anywhere. And I, like, made my page private, then I make it public, then I make it private. And I'm like, yo, like, just get over yourself. You have a card. If anybody comes to say is anything, like, I have a card. Like, yeah. Why are you bothering me?
I'm grown. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you just have to learn your boundaries first, and then put yourself out there in whatever medium that you're comfortable with, whether it's showing your body because you want to model, whether it's the way you write, whether it's creating graphics, whatever it may be, like singing. Like, I'm not the best singer, and sometimes I sing and I post that stuff, but guess what? That's because it makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And
it's,
if somebody,
you're expressing yourself on your page, clearly it's for you.
Yeah, it, you know, I'm just there as a persona, and in the background there's so much that I do. Like, there's just, you're so much more than that, you know. Mm-hmm. So just always keep that in mind, that you're so much more than what you put out there, you know. Absolutely. On social media. So
even if people are like, this is too extra, like I said, she's fine and she knows it, y'all. You're gonna see on her Instagram what I mean. But even if it seems like extra to other people, if it makes you feel good, who cares?
Yeah. That's that, you know, unfollow me. Don't look. I am not doing anything to hurt anybody. Like, I have no ill intention or malintent for anybody, even my enemies. I wish them well. Like, I'm not an evil spirited person. And if something in my spirit rubs you the wrong way, then that's some work that you have to do. And that's none of my business. I don't care. I don't care. I can't sit there and wear the weight of everyone.
Cancer energy. I love it.
It took a long time energy to get to that place. Yeah, it's so hard. Like, it's so hard to not worry about what people think about you. But, like, you just have to just not care at some point, because they're not sitting there. Like, they're not going to sit there and change for you. So why are you sitting there and stressing over wasting your life, your vital life essence? You're stressing it out over somebody else. Why? Why? Not worth it.
We only have so much time here. We got to take advantage of it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, my final question for you is, what advice do you have for women or men of color who want to be in the cannabis industry or maybe do work similar to what you're doing, but don't quite know like where to start or even what steps to take to get started?
I would start to research. I feel like my partner had a really good point that the cannabis industry is adult use and medical. There's so many people jumping to the adult use side of things that market is so going to be saturated. So if you're trying to get into the industry, start focusing on the medical end of things. Start focusing on the education. Mm-hmm. Just start by yourself. You don't need to start shouting this out loud and everything. Once you start to educate yourself, then put out I'm going to say this, give yourself a year's time, start educating yourself. Don't start saying stuff until you know it back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, while that's going on, do your networking, find your people, find the brands you like, study them, contact the brand, let them know you like them. Yeah. You know, you have to just kind of keep this transparency in cannabis too. Like you want to show yourself, but once you're ready, like don't just jump out and start doing stuff, because then you're going to end up on my shit list. You're going to be one of those people that are saying hey, this is going to cure this, and this is happening here, and this, and the wrong thing. And I'm like, you have such a good heart, but no, you're wrong. and
again.
Yeah. But like, start to reach out to other, like, and especially for the BIPOC community, like go on the inclusive base, go mm-hmm. on Can-Inclusive. Yes. Go on there. You know, thank
Minorities
you,
Mary. For medical marijuana.
Yes. Yes. Start looking at these. Start, you know, reach out. Like if you're in school, reach out to your local, you know, maybe there's a Smart chapter there, you know, that
Smart Cannabis.
It is. Yeah. And even I'm the, we haven't mentioned it, but I am the chief marketing officer for Canademics. So Canademics is another one where we do work and partner with colleges as well. So like, mm-hmm. see what groups are in your schools, see what's in your local communities. You know, join groups on Facebook if you have your Facebook still. Like, all
there's
of that.
So many private cannabis Facebook groups. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. And some people just make a Facebook just to be on that group. And you'll mm-hmm. be surprised. There'll be a lot of networking opportunities.
Mm-hmm. LinkedIn. I've seen LinkedIn has been very popular for cannabis lately.
Yes, definitely. And just make sure, don't be afraid to educate yourself. Just continuously educate yourself. And when people see that you're trying to keep up, they will respect you mm-hmm. and it won't be so hard. Don't mm-hmm. be afraid to be a trimmer. Don't be afraid to be a bud tender. Like, just start somewhere, get your foot in the door. And if you don't like it, then you do what I just straight up went to another dispensary, brought doctors back there. Like that wasn't the best of ideas, but I did it and it was cool. And then I said, so like, just do it. If you have an idea and it's not something that's going to be detrimental or have any crazy anything to it, just do it. You know, if you think it's for the greater good, do it.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. Thank you so much, Jade. That really was just all clap. I mean, it's just me, but hopefully other people are clapping as they're listening to this episode, because you've dropped some bombs of knowledge on us and have really talked to me in a way that I probably needed to be talked to. I didn't expect to be read today, but like a cancer, you read me down and I'm okay with it. I'm A-okay with it. Is there anything you want to share with us to end the episode, or anything you want to tell the people about yourself and where to find you, or any upcoming projects?
I'm going to be doing a ongoing educational webinar series with Peak Relief Dispensary. They're based out of Maryland. It's going to be free. That should be dropping, you know, sometime in February and ongoing. I'm, you know, keep an eye out for Canademics. You know, we're up and coming. We're looking mm-hmm. to come into many states. We're partnering with a lot of people, like the National Cannabis Party. So we got Red Man out here, and like, just keep your eye out. Follow me on Instagram. you know, follow Mary J Therapeutics. You'll be seeing some products drop on there, and they're going to be a lot different. It's a lot different than what other companies might have out. I'll say in the tincture game. So you'll see.
Ooh, I'm excited. Man, this was such a great start to season four. I'm so glad you were the opening episode for season four. If you didn't know, you're the opening episode season four. And I think people are going to love it. I'm so excited. But thank you so much again for taking the time out to talk to me today. I'm super excited for people to hear your story and connect with you more. I want everyone to go follow Mary Jade, RX Mary Jade on Instagram. Go get that information. Like, you have ebooks on your website, you have coaching mm-hmm. sessions, like, you are available to anyone who wants to reach out to you. So
yep.
reach out to her, you'll get the information you need about whatever medical, not medical, but like plant-based thing you want to know, including fun things about mushrooms.
Yes.
All right, guys, well, thank you so much again. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you guys later. Stay high and stay healthy. Bye.
Thank you so much to the first sponsor of season four, Plant and Potion, organic infused delectables owned and operated by women. I am a woman in cannabis, so I love supporting and working with women in cannabis. Try of these one-of-a-kind edible treats that taste just as good as they look, y'all, like their horchata, that's a hard word to say, horchata pot chocolate bombs, obviously a horchata flavored, like hot chocolate with pot in it, yes please. Flower Power Lavender Hibiscus Lemon Elixir is like a medicated, like, herbal lemonade that tastes super good. And they also have a pot pesto, yes, that's cannabis infused pesto sauce, and more. If you are 21 and live in the Los Angeles area, support women in cannabis when you order from Plants and Potion. Get 10% off your first order with the code Ayana at checkout, IYANA, and find them on Instagram and learn more at Plant and Potion. That's Plant, the letter N, Potion, and tell them I sent you.